welcome to the All Things Overlanding podcast. My name is Fletch, and I'll be your host. Are you ready for some great overlanding content? Then let's get into it. Hey everybody, Fletch from All Things Overlanding here. On this week's podcast slash vlog, get ready for some great Jeep Wrangler TJ and Arkansas overlanding off-roading talk. Today's special guest is Grant Wilbanks, who runs the YouTube channel called Arkansas Off-Road. So if you've seen his stuff before, it's awesome. He's done some epic trips. He does some great video work, some great editing, and he's just a super cool guy. So I'm excited to have him on the show. Before we get going, I wanted to thank you for stopping by. If this is your first time checking me out, I'm on YouTube, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, I'm on all the major podcast channels. So definitely make sure to join the conversation on all those different channels because, you know, everybody talks in different ways. So whatever you prefer, hop on there. I'd love to hear from you. Also, I'm always looking for folks to feature their rigs and stuff. So if you have a cool, unique sort of rig, definitely shoot me an email at allthingsoverlanding@gmail.com or just message me on any of those platforms I mentioned. So again, thanks for stopping by. I'm excited for this one. So let's get into the interview with Grant, Arkansas Off-Road. Let's go. All right, guys, welcome to the show. On today's podcast slash vlog, you've got Fletch from All Things Overlanding, and I'm talking to Grant Wilbanks from Arkansas Off-Road. Welcome, Grant.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, so no problem. Here. Yeah, we're like internet friends.
I know. And now we're
really
now
talked
we're,
in person, but yeah, via Insta. So, yeah, well, welcome to the show. So excited to have you. And as I've said many times, this is not an empty, like, just thing that I say to people online, like, I really want to get to rendezvous in the Ozarks and I want to like meet you and Chad and like hang out and drink beers. So
dude, it is the best part of my year for sure. It's so cool.
You'll We've got a few months, so I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of the reason that we may not be able to go, how has the coronavirus affected you? Like, has it put a big crimp in your plans?
Yeah. So it's more affected my personal life. Or my day-to-day and work and stuff. Uh-huh. My company got hit pretty hard by it and almost lost my job. Oh. So yeah, I dodged that bullet, but it's really given me more time to make content on YouTube and stuff and to work on the rig. I've done lots of maintenance, you know, lots of garage stuff.
Yeah.
Which has been cool. My wife may say otherwise. but yeah, it hasn't really affected me very much. I mean, I'm working at home every day.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit weird not seeing my coworkers and stuff, but
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah. That's so I work from home every day too, but I kind of did that before anyways, but yeah. Man, it's like, I just keep hearing about people that are way more talented than me that have been let go from companies and stuff. And it's like, oh, you never know. Like it could happen tomorrow, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so I'm good. I'm glad that, that you are still good. So as far as vehicles, so what year is your TJ again?
Yeah. It's a 2000.
Okay. So if I ask you if you like newer or older vehicles, I think I probably know the answer.
Yeah. So I have a little caveat to that. I definitely prefer older vehicles, aesthetics wise.
Sure.
Right. And you know, you can't beat the reliability of today's vehicles, and the comfort. And you know, so if I could have like a fully restored old vehicle with modern stuff like that, you know,
yeah,
I would do it. But definitely prefer the older vehicles.
Yeah. Yeah. The TJs are great looking. And I mean, there's a reason that they hold their value like they do, right. You know, but I especially like yours, like the way that it's set up and just the aggressiveness of it, you know, there's just something mm-hmm. about it. And I think people see that and that's kind of why they flock to your channel. Cause like, you just see like your thumbnails and I'm like, oh, that TJ is so good looking.
Thanks, man.
So mean.
Yeah.
So are you like a loyalist? Are you a Jeep guy through and through or can you be sweet?
This may shock some people that are, you know, from my audience, like watching this or whatever, No, I'm not a Jeep loyalist. I'm not a Jeep fanatic. I like Jeeps. It's the rig that I'm driving right now.
Sure.
I think there's a lot of value in learning on different platforms, right? Like, I'd love to build a truck and see how that works, and like, maybe one day do like an SUV. And then, you know, right now I'm in a season of life where I have no kids. A TJ works for me, right?
Yeah.
Tiny, it's compact. Like, I can get away with things just fine in that. So that's kind of, yeah, I'm not really a brand loyalist, so to speak.
Yeah. I feel like there are pros and cons to that, right? Like, I'm pretty loyal to Nissan, obviously. It's all I talk about, but, and I like them, but I'm not necessarily a brand loyalist, but like, I also am I'm anti or non-loyal to brands that I feel are just really poor quality, right? So like,
if I bought
something, I'd probably buy a Toyota, you know, but then the tax on that is just, you're paying, you know, twice as much for something that's comparable to a Nissan. And it's like, what do you do? But like, I was really limited when I picked my vehicle, because I'm like, I want to go overlanding and I want a Nissan. And it was like, well, you can get an Xterra. Like, that's the only thing they have. I mean, maybe a Pathfinder, but they're kind of big. They have terrible departure angles. There's less mods for them, even though they're really similar to the Xterra. And it's like that or an Armada or a Titan or a Frontier. That was it. So, yeah. Then I watch guys with like, you know, Land Rovers, and they like pull up and they raise up their suspension and they go up the obstacle and you're like, damn it.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Right. So,
yeah.
I think my next vehicle will be a Toyota.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're bulletproof.
I'm going to try that platform.
Yeah. Are you thinking SUV or truck?
From a cost perspective, probably truck. You know, 4Runner, you know, would be sweet, but dude, I can't shell out 45, you know, and then just pinstripe it on the trail. Like, that's scary.
Yeah. And I love that new body style. They're sharp looking trucks, but they're expensive.
Yeah.
Well, I feel you there. So if you had to pick a season, like, and maybe there's not one season that's your favorite, but if you had to pick one, do you have a favorite season, or are you every weather is fine with you, or what do you think?
Every weather is definitely not fine with me.
Okay. So you're like me then.
I hate the heat.
Me too.
Yeah. Dude, in Arkansas, we have the worst humidity. And I mean, it's so bad. Like, I'll take the tent off and just, okay, it's summertime, tent's off, not camping. Yeah. Like, I hate it. Maybe with my rooftop tent being up, I might get some breeze. I haven't really tried it in the summer, but yeah, fall is my favorite. And then I actually think a close second is winter, and then spring. Fall is the foliage is gorgeous, you know? And that's why Rendezvous in the Ozarks is late October. Dude, it is so beautiful.
God, please let Rendezvous happen.
Yeah, I think so. It's far enough out, man.
Yeah, surely. I mean, something's got to happen. I mean, you know. We could still social distance if we have to. That's fine. Just don't tell me I'm not allowed to leave the state, you know? So, yeah, I think I'm right there with, like, that's literally exactly fall is my favorite. Winter is probably, I go the most in the winter, honestly, because, like, my wife is not jealous of me or mad at me. Like, she's just like, you want to go be an idiot?
Want to go freeze your butt up? Yeah.
Yeah. And then spring is okay. It's the rain for me that kills it in spring.
Sure.
Like, I don't like having messy gear and having to air everything out. It's three times the work.
Yep. I'm actually going with a group tomorrow for about 4 days, and it just downpoured today, like all day long, thunderstorms. So I'm hoping the water crossings aren't
terrible,
deep and stuff. But
take video.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you will. Cool. So what got you started in this? Like, off-roading or overlanding, if it was one or the other, what got you started?
Yeah, so I'll preface that by saying Arkansas overland was taken.
Okay.
So I picked Arkansas off-road, even though I am a diehard off-road guy, or overland guy, excuse me.
I wondered about that.
A lot of people do, and I misleaded myself, and I pride myself in being, you know, knowledgeable in branding and things, and I screwed that up.
It's close enough. People don't know the difference.
Yeah, it's fine. What got me started in overlanding? Man, I think when I built my first – so I built a vehicle. It was a let me backtrack. I had a 1984 Toyota pickup.
Okay.
And that was literally the model. It was called Toyota pickup.
Nice.
It was a little two-wheel drive. I mean, it was this tiny truck, and I could literally pick it up and move the back. Like, it was tiny. It was kind of a beater. Got it fixed up, you know, threw some all-terrains on it, and put a little camper on the back. And I was like, you know, this is fun. Like, the action of, like, customizing a vehicle is fun.
Yeah.
And so I liked that. And then, of course, like, I have a mountain bike background, so I love mountain biking. And so I would go mountain bike, and then I would see these guys, you know, with off-road accessories or whatever on their trucks. And I'd be like, oh, I'll try that. You know, I'll throw a jerry can on my truck or whatever. You know, I'll look the part, right? And one thing led to another. And then I sold that truck for a 1977 International Scout.
Oh yeah, I've seen that one.
And yeah, that thing, dude. Oh, so I love cool. It. That thing, I sold that perfectly working Toyota for that Scout that had 7 different paint colors on it. You had to pour gasoline in the carburetor to nice. Run it. It had 3 different tires. All the parts were just thrown into it, and I trailered it home. And
fair trade.
This was when I was in college.
Okay.
Brought it home, and my mom was like, "What have you done? Like, you don't have a car now." And I was like, "Yeah, well, figure it out." And so, long story short, I built that thing up pretty good over about a summer, a little over a summer, and okay. You know, got to driving that and doing camping trips in that, and people just showed such an interest in that vehicle being so unique with the Scout, you know. And,
Yeah,
I don't know, man. It just kept going, and I've always camped as a kid, and the vehicle customization part just seems natural. And everything I have, I customize, like my bike or anything, you know.
Right.
So
yeah, if you're in branding, it's tough to leave stuff alone, I imagine.
That's right.
That's awesome. Yeah, you should get another Scout, because I bet you could have like a really successful TJ channel and a really successful Scout channel.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I think
because
so.
I really haven't seen hardly any like Scout content on YouTube.
Yep. So. Especially if you pair that with the overlanding.
Yeah. Right?
Like, that's two separate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be cool.
That would be rad. Okay. Well, there you go. Idea when you make it big.
There you go.
Don't forget the little guys. So that's cool. So you just told us that the Toyota was the first four-wheel drive. Well, it was two-wheel drive though, right?
Was.
So I guess was the Scout the first four-wheel drive vehicle you owned then?
Yeah, that was the first proper vehicle.
Okay, cool. And then we know, well, if you're new to my channel or if you don't know Grant's channel, tell them what you drive now. Tell us all about it, about your mods and everything.
Yeah, okay. So I have a 2000 Wrangler TJ. It is a sport model. So one of the base models. I think it has 135,000 miles on the clock right now. I bought it 2 or 3 years ago. I think 3 now. I bought it pretty well outfitted, actually.
Nice.
Got it from a guy who bought it from an auction. A used car dealership is where I bought it from. And that thing looked like pretty mean, ready to go. And of course, I told my wife, I was like, hey, I can buy this and it's ready to go.
Right.
I won't make any mods. It's done.
Sure.
Oh, it was bad after that. Like, you know, the day I got it home, I was looking at parts.
Yeah,
it didn't go good. But had a few hiccups at the very beginning on the build. The previous owner, there was some rust. So when I bought the vehicle, I thought there was a frame off restoration on this thing, because the whole chassis was completely like freshly painted black. It looked amazing. You know, I crawled up under there. It looked great.
Yeah.
About a month after I bought it, clutch went out, put a new clutch in. And then the mechanic, he was like, hey dude, I need you to come here now.
Okay.
And that's not a good phone call. You don't want that. So I drove over there and he gets a screwdriver and he pokes it through my frame in a couple of places.
Wow.
And I was like, you are kidding me. So anyway, previous owner bondoed the rust and then hit it with this crazy good paint, and it looked immaculate, right? And I could not have known unless I like started. So you know, what was it, $1,300 or $1,400 later, right after I bought the car.
Jeez.
I don't know how my wife's still with me today. but we put a new frame brace kit on, basically cut out the rust and put this kit on. So that was my first mod.
Yeah.
That really sucked.
That does suck.
But yeah, but now, man, I got bumpers, front and rear sliders. I put some 456 gears in it, stock axles. I have running 35s, I have a custom roof rack, rooftop tent, a lot of, I got a CB, GMRS, all kinds of goodies inside.
Nice. Yeah, that's, yeah. I've seen it. I've watched a couple of your videos, so.
Yeah.
I've seen quite a bit of it, but yeah, it is. Guys, if you have not seen this thing, you need to go check out his channel, Arkansas Off-Road. It is amazing. The Jeep is freaking cool.
Thanks, man.
I had a Jeep. I used to have a Cherokee XJ Sport, and it was a great little truck, 4 liter, put 40,000 miles on it, had it for like 4 years, put a little 3-inch lift and 31s on it, like a bull bar, yep. That was about it. But that thing was just, it was a great truck. Like, it's the exact same year as yours, right? I mean, they're pretty similar, pretty much the same, I think.
Same exact motor.
Transmission, engine, everything, yeah. So that thing was great, but, man, yours is cool. Yours is a good looking truck.
Thank you. And sure. I did buy it painted too, which was cool. That was something I've never seen that color on a TJ before. And I think that's maybe a testament to how mine sticks out, because that color was available from the factory on the earlier JK models.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's so. The green color for those of you listening and not watching. Not the
Sorry. Yeah, it's called Mopar Commando Green.
Okay.
It's kind of a baby poop green.
Yeah. But somehow it looks really good on a TJ.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
It doesn't look like a baby pooped on it at all. Cool. So you've done a lot of overlanding and off-roading. So what would you say is the coolest thing or obstacle that you've ever tackled on a trip, like water crossings or down trees, or like what's the coolest like challenge that you've come up against that you overcame?
Yeah. Let's see. There's actually not too many. I think where I go mostly, which is the Ozark National Forest, there's lots of water crossings.
Okay.
You can get messed up pretty bad, you know, real quick.
Yeah.
So definitely walk your crossings, or at least do a little stick check or something.
Right.
You know, but I think just, I guess a more recent one I did is, I had a trip where I had a failed alternator, and that was terrifying because I was literally in the middle of nowhere. My voltage gauge went to zero. You know, everything on my dash was freaking out, and you know, I literally was panicking. It's actually on one of my videos. but you know, I thought it was with Chad actually from Overland Addict. We were driving, and then I was like, dude, wherever we park, I'm probably going to have to be parked there for a long time because I probably can't start this thing. I don't know what happened. I went through a pretty big bog hole, and mud came out of my hood, like it sprayed, like a dolphin purging or something. So that's probably the what actually happened. But I don't know, man. The next morning, I turned it on. Fired right back up. I don't know. Just
that's crazy.
Really temperamental.
Yeah. Well, that's, you never know. Like when things dry out, you know, like,
yeah,
I had kind of a similar experience when we went to West Virginia where I just wasn't really paying attention to how hilly it was. Mm-hmm. And like, we're driving through, you know, this really super hilly, we were on like paved roads too. We were going from one trail to another, and we're just up and down and up and down. And like, all of a sudden, like someone hops on the CB and they're like, "Hey, Fletch, your back passenger rear is smoking heavily."
Oh shoot.
And I'm like, what? And I like pull over, and I'm like, I had an extinguisher with me. It was like in the bottom of a Plano crate, so I'm like digging frantically for this fire extinguisher because I didn't have it ready. And I get out and I'm looking, and it's like my brakes are like glowing, and just white smoke pouring out of them. And I was like, oh my god, I'm 10 hours from home. Like, I'm going to have to pay thousands of dollars to some stupid shop to like fix whatever's wrong, fix these brakes or whatever, you know, and it's going to cost me an arm and a leg. I'm going to have to tow it from the middle of nowhere to a shop, and that's going to cost me $500. And we stopped for like 10, 15 minutes, let it cool down. It stopped smoking. I like poured some water on it and cooled it down, got back in, started using my gears to slow down, and we were fine for the next 2 days. Like, no problem.
Really?
Yeah. So I think I just like superheated them and burned all the roads.
Was it your e-brake?
Huh?
I was going to ask, was it your e-brake?
Oh, my e-brake's been shot for a long time. Whenever I did the brakes like 4 years ago, the e-brake was really tricky when I put it back together. And I don't think I got it quite right. So I just don't use the e-brake anymore. It doesn't engage. my transmission holds the truck no matter what.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just got an e-brake.
Don't do what I do. Do what?
I just got an e-brake the other day. Nice. I haven't had an e-brake ever since I had the truck.
They're overrated.
Yeah.
You don't need them.
Transmissions are fine.
Yeah. are there any places that you maybe haven't been able to go yet that you want to go? Like, what's the biggest, best place that you would love to go that you've never been able to go to yet?
Yeah. So I think for me, maybe more out west from where I am. So I'm in Arkansas. So that's, that means like Black Bear Pass or the Rubicon Trail or, Moab.
Imogene.
Yeah, yeah. I would love to just experience the Moab rocks. I'm definitely a rock guy over a mud guy.
Right.
I think that'd be just a really cool change of scenery because where I'm in pretty dense woods, and
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, I'm in dense woods, but with no challenge, no water crossings, no rocks.
Oh yeah.
It's just like gravel roads. So. Mm-hmm. Come to lovely Indiana where everything sucks. It's not that bad, but there isn't anything to overland here. Like, yeah, that's why I want to come to you guys.
Yep.
I want to see some real stuff.
Yeah. We'll show you, man.
Yeah. We'll make it happen. Do you have a favorite piece of like off-roading or overlanding gear? So not necessarily mod specific to your vehicle, but like just like piece of gear that's like your favorite. You don't leave home without.
It's pretty tough. I think so. I'm gonna have to break your rule and say one thing about the vehicle that I love, and then the gear.
Sure.
For me, it would probably be my roof rack, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is a segue to having the tent, because if I didn't have the roof rack, I'd be in a tent again on the ground, and
yeah.
So that's probably my vehicle thing that I like the most. So as far as gear, I think one of the coolest things that I always keep with me and stuff in the Jeep is, I actually did a video on this like yesterday of stuff I keep in the back, and it's these rigid boxes.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with those?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah, man. Those are so cool. They're so, you wouldn't think to use like a big box store toolbox.
Yeah.
For, all your overland gear. And it's so nice to organize it and grid it out. And
yeah, I've seen a few guys that use those.
Yeah,
and they are nice. If I hadn't gone drawer system, I would have something like that. Mm-hmm. Cause like my Plano crates that I had before were okay, but there's no organization in them. It was just a big open empty box.
Yeah,
those things are sweet.
I literally bought a couple Front Runner, those little cub packs or whatever, wolf packs or whatever. And I went to Home Depot like 2 days later and saw those rigid boxes, and I canceled my Front Runner order.
Nice.
And it was like half the price, so
yeah that gets tough.
Yeah.
It gets tough. That's I've been thinking a lot about doing a video about like what is worth spending money on and what is not.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are definitely a lot of things that I feel like people buy stuff and I'm just like, how much was that Yeti cooler?
Right.
Really?
Right.
You could have bought a fridge, like, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although I would love to, I still would love to pay more for that logo. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. You could get $100 bucket if you want.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So yeah, that may be my first big Yeti purchase. I actually have, and of course it's not over here, but I have one of those, the little koozie things.
Mm-hmm.
That like with a screw on top. Yeah. Those. It was a gift. I didn't buy it, but I tell you what, that thing is freaking baller. Like it keeps the drinks cold. It keeps your hand warm. Like it's, mm-hmm. It is nice. It's worth the $20 probably if you have to buy it. That's about all I would buy.
Yeah, I think I have just a Yeti can and like, I rock an Ozark Trail cooler from Walmart. Yeah.
Same thing.
I mean,
mine has a name that's unpronounceable, but it's just a rotiformed cooler, and it The only problem with it, it's straight from China, and it's like a bunch of letters and numbers. Like, it's not even a name. It's like the F40 CMTP or something. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. But like the straps on it, like literally within the first week that I had it, I went outside and I left them strapped, and I went outside and they were both laying on the ground like they had just broken. And I was like, damn it, this is like, that's the whole thing. Like, it doesn't work without those straps. And so I went back to the page for that cooler, and there were just these people in the comments that were like, go here and spend $12 on these replacement straps on Amazon and they're bulletproof. Uh-huh. And so for $12, I fixed the problem, and I've had it for like a year since, and they're perfect. They work fine.
Cool. Yeah. So, making it work.
Cheap gear, though. Cheap gear works sometimes. You just got to be careful. Mm-hmm. So cool. So that kind of covers all the gear stuff. It covers your truck stuff. Let's talk about your channel. So, yeah. You know, a lot of my folks are Nissan folks, but I don't want to, like, I'm sure I have a lot of Jeep folks and Toyota folks and, you know, all kinds of people. And I think for the most part, overlanding and off-roading folks are open to everything for the most part. So, like, I'd love to, you know, have you tell us more about your channel and kind of, you know, what got you started creating that. So, you know, jump in and tell us how did you get started just creating Arkansas overland / off-road?
Yeah, sure. I will say that I'm not a Jeep TJ specific channel.
Sure. Yeah.
I do have to kind of clarify that sometimes because a lot of people look up and say, you know, cool Jeep channel, you know, or whatever, but that's just what I have and what I own and sure. work on and stuff. But yeah, man, I got started completely by accident. I did not sit down one day and say, hey, let's make a YouTube channel. You know, what I did was just like normal when I go camping, you know, or I would go camping. But this one time I was like, hey, I'm going to just, you know, bring my phone. I'm just going to film some clips, throw some clip together, make a little movie or whatever.
Yeah.
And I somehow was able to get Arkansas Off-Road on YouTube as a name, which was nice. Pretty cool. Could not get Arkansas Overland, still bitter about it.
Sorry.
yeah, man, I got that and I published, I think my first video was a trip to Devil's Canyon in Arkansas. And I filmed that and it got about 10,000 views in, nice. I think it was a month maybe.
And that's pretty good.
I was shocked. I was completely like, why? Like, I'm just a regular dude. I didn't pay money for ads. I didn't,
right,
you know, whatever. And so I was like, okay, that, you know, that kind of lit the fire a little bit. And I was like, let's try for a couple more. And I think my next few videos, don't go back and watch these are bad.
That's what I say too.
The next ones were kind of some of my DIY mods that I have done, and me just being a creative person, having a creative background, like I'm always modding my stuff. And so I just made a few videos about it, and you know, those kind of did the same thing. Nice. And you know, to my surprise, they kept growing. I was like, okay, maybe this is a thing. Like, I'll put in a little more effort. And each video I put in a little bit more effort, and it's kind of paying off. And yeah, I think what I've stumbled upon was a niche.
Yeah.
Specifically in my model vehicle, which is a Jeep TJ, because a lot of the Jeep channels out there, I'd say most of them are the four-door Wranglers. They're just a dime a dozen. And, you know, I think people were, you know, 16-year-olds or kids were turning 16, they were getting their first Jeep and it happened to be a TJ, you know, and they're like, oh, I got to look at YouTube. And I think that's how a lot of my growth is kind of started, at least at first.
Yeah.
Because people are wanting ideas, you know, and DIY things. And so that kind of fueled my passion to continue to film like my trips that I go on. And it just kept growing. And I kind of realized that, okay, I guess I have a kind of be a unique TJ amongst the other ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of how it happened.
That's cool. Yeah, I feel like you're right. It's either JKs or now Gladiators, right? Of course, everything's Gladiator. There are some like ZJs, like the older Grand Cherokees, regular Cherokees, but I feel like almost all the videos are just off-road. Like just rock climbing, mudding, yep. flipping over Jeeps, Jeep fails. Like that's like what you see when you search like Jeep off-road, right?
Oh yeah.
So yeah, you might be right. It's amazing what people like. I feel like nowadays I'm starting to see a lot more towards the DIY stuff because I think forums are going away, right? Like forums are going away. Facebook has quick answers, but you get ridiculed most of the time if you ask on there.
Sure.
So like, I don't even Google most things anymore. Like simple stuff, how to program my TV, how to, you know, do something on your phone. You just YouTube it. So I think the DIY stuff is smart. I think that's kind of where it's going.
Yeah. And you know, me, I don't make millions of dollars, right? I have to kind of DIY to get myself to these places and to make my camping experiences comfortable. Like I'm not gonna shell out $3,500 on a, I don't know, a tent or something, like, you know. I get by.
Yeah, that's what I keep telling my wife. I'm like, whenever I buy stuff and I get in trouble, I'm like, honey, listen, it would have cost me $1,000 to have this installed and I did it myself. So now I'm going to go buy $1,000 worth of other shit.
That's how it works.
And I'm still married. So
there you go.
You know, we'll see how long that lasts. But you know what? If I get divorced, I have a rooftop tent now that I made myself. I can just go.
You've kind of planned how you're going to get away here.
I have a bug out vehicle now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's funny. So cool. So yeah, we've talked a little bit about why you chose the TJ. We just talked a little bit about the DIY stuff. But what are some of your favorite do-it-yourself projects that you've done? Like, you've done quite a few of them. What's, like, your favorite mod that you've done yourself?
Yeah. Let's see. I think my favorite one would probably be the onboard air compressor. That's a pretty recent one I've done. And, man, I did not realize how big of a difference and how much more I would use it by putting it under the hood. I had my compressor in a box, in the back, in a box, you know, and it was just like, dude, this is taking so long to get out and set up. And like, you know, all my overland buddies are like, dude, like, hurry up, man. You know, and I got this like $70 compressor and, you know, and so what I did was, I can't remember. I think I spent like $40 or something on just some random supplies and made my own little mount and threw it under the hood where I had some space, wired it up. Man, and it's been a game changer. Like I actually use it way more rather than buying, you know, a $300 ARB.
Yeah. It's amazing. They slap the word overland on something and all of a sudden it like quadruples in price.
Yep.
It's amazing. Yeah, well, that's cool. I think that was one of your first videos that I ever watched because I remember that video. Okay. Cool. And I was like, oh yeah, that's pretty cool. Like I've done a similar one to mine, but I did it a few years ago. But like I have the Viair 88P, uh-huh. little guy. But it'll air up a 33 from 15 to 30, 35 in, you know, 3 to 5 minutes. I mean, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
But I mounted it in the rear of the Xterra off to the side of my drawer system and then just have an extended cable so I can like run it out. And I did a universal plug in the wall. And then it came with alligator clips so that it could be portable. I use it most of the time out of the truck, but I wired it to like one of those universal plugs. So like a $2 part that I got at like a local auto parts store.
Yeah.
And then you can plug it into the side of the truck and I wired wire back to it, or you can plug it into the alligator clips, take it out of the truck and like plug it into somebody else's truck and let them use it. Uh-huh. And like that was, it's like the same thing, right? Like it's simple stuff, but it's just so much more fun when you make it yourself.
Yeah, so, for sure. For sure. Cool.
That's awesome. So are there things that you built that maybe didn't work out? Like are there DIY things that you did that afterwards you were like, oh, that's, I'm not going to use that. Like that made it worse. That ruined
it. Yeah, there's one that comes to mind that kind of catastrophically didn't work. So it worked at first and I kind of blame this on user error. So I made a portable, what was it? What did I call it? What catchphrase did I use? Something like onboard water system or whatever.
Okay.
So as all cool DIY projects start at Harbor Freight, I was at Harbor Freight and I saw a little, one of those pump weed sprayers, right? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it looked kind of like a scuba tank and it looked kind of cool, kind of like one of those power tanks, you know. I was like, oh, cool. That looks sweet. Maybe I can do something cool with that. And so I got this idea of having some pressurized water on board my rig, mainly for washing dishes, you know.
Yeah.
Or just rinsing off my boots before I get in the tin or just, you know, whatever.
Right.
And that thing worked really well actually for a few trips. But what I broke it by, you know, it says to pump up the sprayer, you know, like 30-ish times or something like that. It's kind of like its max. And I just kind of forgot that. I think I did it like 60 times or something insane. Cause I was like, I'm going on a 3-day trip and I want to have pressure all 3 days. And yeah,
that's how it works.
Yeah. And what happened is I pumped it up and the back just exploded. Like,
jeez.
Completely.
Was it in the truck when that happened?
No.
Okay, good.
It was not. And that was a very good thing.
Yeah.
But I was so bummed, man, because I really liked it. And, you know, I could spend $20 and make a new one, but it was the principle. It was like, you know, it sucks. But
now you're going to spend hundreds or thousands of dollars and get like a road shower or something.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that sounds terrible. But again, at least it didn't happen in the Jeep. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Could have been worse.
And it probably would work if you weren't an idiot like me and pumped it 60 times, but.
Oh God. I won't even tell you about all the stupid stuff I've done. Like I try and keep most of it a secret because I know if I ever like posted it online, then people would just ridicule me. So
nah,
I never know my secrets.
I want to see I'm really excited to see your tent, your DIY.
Yeah. It's pretty much done. I will say I'm equal parts excited about it and disappointed in it. Like I look at all these other people's do-it-yourself rooftop tents and they look like they literally like stole them from like, you know, an actual brand that makes rooftop tents.
Yeah.
And then you look at mine and they're like, oh yeah, he made a wooden box and like stuffed a tent in it. Cool. But I mean, like, there are still benefits to it. So I think I'm going to talk about it on the radio show a little bit tomorrow night, I think. And then that may make its way to my next podcast here this weekend. So I'm going to kind of go like start to finish, like how it started, the design, the features, and then run through it all and kind of give you like the honest feedback at the end. But
cool. Yeah.
It is cool. It will work for a few years. You know, I only spent like $250 on it. So like, I'm not mad at all.
Awesome.
I'm not mad at all. It's just, if I rolled up to an expo, I might get laughed at.
No, you got to bring it to the rendezvous, dude.
I will. Like, I'm never taking it off the top. Like, has 8 U-bolts holding that thing on, and it took like half a day to get my arms are all scratched and scraped up right now from attaching those U-bolts. So
yeah,
I'll have to cut them off with an angle grinder. It's the only way that thing's ever coming off.
But hey, you have a tent.
Yeah, people can just suck it. I don't care what people think.
Yeah, that's fine. That's the way to do it.
Yeah. So I know this is kind of a newer thing for you, but like I was on for a chunk of your last live chat and I thought it was awesome. Like you have so many like loyal followers and people that were hanging out and chatting with you and everybody was drinking beers and it was just a good time. We were all trapped at home. Right. So, I thought it was a lot of fun, but do you plan to do more of those? Like what's kind of your take on the live chat? Do you like it? Do you want to do more? What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely want to do more. And that was my first trial run. And I do think it was pretty successful. Like it was fun, man. You know, I had posted, I think a couple hours or something before that I was going to do it. And, you know, I still had, I think at one time I had like 60 or so people on there.
Nice.
And that was very encouraging, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd like to do like a regular cadence, maybe like once a month or something. And to me, it's just a little difficult to figure out topics. And then specifically, like it is kind of a weird thing to do one of these because you have a lot of people commenting and things, but they're not physically talking to you.
Right.
And so you have to literally read what people are saying, interpret it, and then like continue to entertain.
Right.
So a lot of juggling going on, but I think it's really fun though.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's awesome. I haven't really dallied in it because like, so I did do that little radio thing. And I think one time I had like 4 people on at one point with me and I felt like it was so jarring, you know, like exactly what you just said, where it's like, oh, haha, you said, and it's like from 2 minutes ago, right?
Yeah.
You're catching up and you're like, oh, haha, yeah, you like that thing too. Okay, cool.
Yeah, the lag hurts.
It's rough. And that was with like 4 people. So I feel like if I did it, I might have 1 or 2 if I was lucky. And it'd probably be like you and Chad.
Yeah.
I may wait a little bit to do those, but they do seem like fun. So I think if you can hype them up, and talk to people. It's more fun.
Yeah, I think they're cool. So obviously it takes quite a while to, you know, film a video and edit a video and right. publish a video. I think as a way of, at least for me, for putting more content out there, this is something that I definitely want to be utilizing more, because you literally just press record, you know, and your video's done.
That's right.
You know, if you mess up, you mess up. You know, it's kind of, you're kind of giving that realness to your audience, and there's a lot more kind of one-on-one feeling, I think, with that, especially when you respond to comments and things. And I think that that is a smarter move to just, you know, produce volume of content is quicker way.
Yeah, no, I think that's awesome. I'm excited. I'm sure I'll see it when the next one pops up and I'll come give you a hard time.
Cool. Yeah, do it.
So of all the videos you've made, because you made a pretty decent amount of videos, like, do you have a favorite? Do you have like one video where you were like, man, I just love the way I shot this or edited it, or this trip was so cool and I love how I captured it? Like, do you have one video that's like a favorite video that you've ever made?
So I guess my favorite category of videos to start would be the trips, right? You know, all the camping adventures and trails and things. And those definitely just, you know, you have more memories with those. You're with people, you're out there doing it, you know?
Yeah.
Rather, you know, in the other part of my channel, probably like 70% maybe is like, I'm in my garage, I'm doing mods, you know, and I don't enjoy the filming those as much. You know,
it's like a job.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think one of my favorite videos would probably be the recent, rendezvous, one we did. That one was cool because there was just a lot to take in. You know, you got to see all the gear and all the people, and you got to go on the trail and this, and, I captured a few different, like, I think it was 3 days, in one video. And so, it's really cool. Sometimes, you know, when I have extra time, I go back and watch those trips, and it's pretty cool to relive that. You know, I'm never going to go back and watch my DIY onboard air thing, you know? And so that's actually, going back to your very first question of why I started the channel.
Yeah.
That the sole reason was to make a video of my camping trip.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know, 10 years later, show my kids, hey, this is what I did, you know, because videos are way cooler than photos, you know?
Yeah,
so definitely the trips.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's kind of exactly the same thing I was saying. Like, I was like, these are never going to be fancy and no one else is going to watch these, but I'll throw them up on YouTube, and then someday my kids will be like, oh, that's really cool that you did this thing. Mm-hmm. You did this water crossing or climbed over these rocks or whatever. That's cool. When you go on these trips though, so for me, like, that's, I don't have a ton of trip video because I get really motivated and I want to shoot them. But then when I get out there, I find that it's like almost kills my trip because you're moving tripods and setting stuff up and it's a lot of work. So when you go on these trips, do you still get to enjoy them, or do you kind of feel like the content creation takes over and ruins it?
So that's probably the biggest touchy point, on this, man. Like I said, those are my favorite videos to watch.
Yeah.
But I would even say I hate filming them.
Yeah.
I hate being that guy to hold up the trail, you know, and go up and like, oh, let me get this shot. I don't feel like obligated to do that. I just kind of want to, mainly like kind of for selfish reasons, like I said, to have a memory.
Yeah.
But dude, there's sometimes I'm like, I really don't want to film this like water crossing, but man, it would be cool. To show everybody, right, or whatever. And that is something I wrestle with all the time on my trips. I have, you know, gone on a few trips and I've said, okay, we're not bringing out the phone, you know, we'll take some pictures or whatever. But and those are so nice, they're so relaxing because you can just feel. So I go back and forth because I would love to just to do trips, and then like the dream is like have my own crew, right?
Sure. Just do an expedition overland. Sure.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Have all the fun, but.
Yeah. I think I may have found like a solution for this, and this might be a suggestion for you. If you have a friend that like has some decent camera equipment and is interested in camping and videography or photography, like I have this buddy, his name's Kyle. Hi, Kyle. And he, right before all this happened, we were going to go do the Daniel Boone backcountry byway, which is like similar to Ozark stuff, right? Like rocks and all that sort of stuff. And he was like, I have a DSLR. I have a couple of GoPros. Like I'll be the monkey. I'll hop out and climb up and set everything up and you can just drive through and then I'll go back and get them. And I was like, yes, let's do that. And like, we never got to take that trip. We will when things open back up, but I was just like, oh my God, I just figured it out. Like somebody else that's not going to bitch and moan about the trip the whole time, like my wife, for example, and someone that likes that stuff and wants to be like involved in like making the videos. Like, yeah. I'm so excited because he's like, whenever you want to do this, man, just let me know. I'll go with you. I was like, dude, you can be in the videos. Like, we'll interview you the whole time. You can be the face of the show. That's fine. But
that's really cool.
I feel like that's the solution. Like, that's the only way it's going to ever be like that.
Yeah, that is a great point. I might need to, I'm sure I have a few friends that, yeah. I mean, I know I do that, have said that they would do that. Yeah. It's more of a consistency, like, well, you do that every time, you know?
Right. Yeah, we just need to find that, or we need to like get sponsored by huge companies that will pay for a crew.
Yeah, that is literally the dream.
I'm sure it's totally going to happen here in the next like month or two.
Yeah, it's
probably more for you than me.
No.
Okay, cool. So that's good. So does having your YouTube channel kind of influence where you go and like when you go? Like, do you feel like you have to go out one weekend like to shoot gear reviews or like to shoot a trail trip because it's been too long since your last video or sometimes where you go because you don't want to go to the same place again? Or what do you think about that?
So these are sort of my shower thoughts that I have. So I don't think it dictates like when I go or where I go. Definitely doesn't dictate where I go because I always just go to the Ozarks.
Sure.
That's just my default camping location. But as far as when, I told myself early on, you know, I'll do like 3 videos a month, you know, and that,
yeah.
And I slipped for a while and it was like 1 video a month. And then it was like 4 videos a month. And, you know, I'm inconsistent about that, but
yeah.
Usually I'm in the garage anyway and I'm doing stuff or I have a idea or a plan or something. And whenever I'm not like actually camping or on, you know, trail or anything, I use those ideas as like filler, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah, and I'm always thinking, and my wife can attest to this, I'm always thinking of what to do next, you know.
Right.
So
yeah, that's awesome. Do you have like specific goals for your channel or are you just kind of rolling with it and, you know, recording stuff cause it's fun or are you trying to get somewhere with the channel?
Yeah, dude, I'm rolling with it, man. Like I said, I didn't mean to start this. And so I'm just seeing where it goes. You know, I don't have a real roadmap, but,
yeah,
I will say that YouTube has done a ton for me.
Nice.
It's given me so many connections, like to yourself. To Chad, to, you know, the whole Rendezvous crew, that's been really cool. And a lot of those people are really thankful that I've been capturing videos from their events, which has been cool because, you know, I'll do a video and they'll be like, wow, you know, our event is growing. You know, maybe this could be a reason because so many people have seen your video or whatever. So that's been cool. And man, I get messages on Instagram about, hey, what do you think about this? Like, what are your opinions? And I'm like, dude, I'm just a regular guy. Like, I appreciate it, but I'm not the TJ expert or the Overland expert. Right. I'll give you what I know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been cool. So connecting with people like that. And I've had several companies reach out and, you know, give me product or say, hey, do you want to help me design this bumper? Or hey, you know, like, what are your thoughts on this? And, you know, that's something I never would have done, you know, before YouTube.
Yeah.
And as a hobby, like, dude, I'll take it. It's fun.
Yeah. No, I love that because it's like, I think that's what makes your channel so successful. You know, like people love that, you know, sincerity and the honesty. And like, if something sucks, you're like, hey, this product's not good. You know, no, I don't like this. Or I do like this. Or I did this mod and it didn't work. Yeah. And that's what I feel like those type of channels are the ones that are going to make it because there are a bunch of like Expedition Overlands and Overland Bounds and stuff that, you know, if you had a film crew and a $20,000 a month budget, like you could make some crazy trips to Brazil, you know, but most of us are never going to do that. So like, that's how I kind of hooked up with you and Chad and Revere Overland. I've talked to him a number of times and he's a great guy. Like there's like all these just normal people making cool videos about stuff that interests us. And I just think it's neat that like people feel like they can send you that message, right? Or yeah. Can ask me an Xterra question. And I'm not an expert either, but just, it's cool to have those conversations, I feel like. So I appreciate that. And I'm sure that, you know, all the tens of thousands of people that watch your videos appreciate it too.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah. So cool. So that was pretty much it for my questions. Guys, again, if you're listening, like I'm going to put all the links to all of his stuff down below. You have to go check it out, even if you're not a Jeep guy, because his videos are fun. He takes a lot of really cool trips. Like he, you know, we've been talking about, he does some cool DIY stuff that's not specific just to TJs. Like you could do a water system for your vehicle. You could do the onboard air for pretty much anything if you've got the room under the hood. So definitely go check out his stuff. And thanks, Grant, for being here.
Yeah, appreciate it, Flesh. It was a blast being on here, dude.
Yeah.